Today we end our series on life hacks. And I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed the study in the book of Proverbs. And I'm really kind of gleaning the key insights that we need to know concerning life hacks, things that make our life easier. And of course, one word that we would use to sum up the whole series is wisdom. God's wisdom that's come to us through His Word, specifically through the book of Proverbs. Now today, as we conclude, I want to show you a life hack that I think a lot of you are familiar with. It's called a carbiner. And those are used for a lot of different things, aren't they? You wear them to put your keys on. Kids have them on backpacks, go to school, they'll have their keys or whatever. Maybe a water bottle, the people who go camping. Of course, there are those that professionals use in rope climbing. And the kind that I'm holding here is not one you want to use for that. But they have those that are specially made. And they're very useful. They can help us. They can save us. And so what we want to do today is we want to give everyone who is here today a life hack. We want to give you a carbiner. Actually, this one has a little light on it. You can use it for a flashlight. But most importantly, we've etched into here life hacks, and it has the brand that we've been using, the unlock symbol. And then it has the three heads that represent the Linwood family. And we want to give this to you on your way out. You'll see a couple of baskets, and you can pick one up. And for those who are not here today, then we'll also have those available for them next week. But we want to give that to you as a gift. And when you use that, when you see it, that it'll remind you of the wisdom. Maybe there's one sermon, there was one thought, one piece of wisdom that God gave you that has really helped you tremendously. And it'll just be a reminder that that wisdom comes from God, all right? That's the point. That you'll see it and you'll just thank God for the wisdom that He gives you. And maybe you're in a stressful moment and you look at that carbiner and you say, you know, I need to go to God's Word. I need to talk to somebody who's a godly person who will give me the wisdom that I need. And today as we conclude, well, we're going to talk about a very interesting subject, one that affects every single person in this room. It's been good to us. It's been bad to us. It's been a real struggle in many ways, and it's about wealth. It's about money. And, you know, Solomon has a lot to say in the book of Proverbs about wealth and how we need to understand it. You know, success is more than wealth. It is having wisdom, and it's knowing what to do with the money that we have. And Solomon helps us with that. Solomon had much to say to the next generation. Remember, he's talking to his son. And if there's any guy who had the credentials to talk about wealth, about money, Solomon had that. Some who have studied his wealth, experts would say that in today's dollars, he was worth then to us today about $100 billion. That's with a B. $100 billion. This is a guy who had extreme wealth, but he also had extreme wisdom. So what would Solomon say to us? Well, let's start with Proverbs chapter 17, verse 16. He says, "Why does a fool have money in his hand with no intention of buying wisdom?" A person who has no desire to gain wisdom is not going to benefit from having more money. If they don't know what to do with their money, then they're going to have great problems in their life. And Solomon is saying that wisdom is far better than wealth. And if you choose wisdom over wealth, then you're going to find that it's going to help you in two ways. Without wisdom, wealth won't do all the things that you think it will do. In fact, it may do just the opposite of what you're desiring. And also, if you obtain wisdom, then under the right circumstances, that you can gain wealth. And yet, if you have wealth without wisdom, you may lose the actual wealth that you have. And this is the exact choice that Solomon had to make, wisdom or wealth. Now, Solomon was about 20 years of age when he became the king of Israel. David was the first king. Saul was, excuse me, then David. David was a great king, and if you go to Israel today, I'll talk about the golden age of Israel when David was the king of Israel. But he had a son, Solomon, who became king, and he was charged with building the temple. Solomon was the son who had the opportunity to do that. David, God said, would not be able to build the temple. David would get things set up so the temple could be built, but Solomon was the one who actually built the temple. So at 20 years of age, he has this great responsibility of being the king. God came to him in the middle of the night, and he asked him in a vision, Solomon, what do you want? Ask me, and I will give you whatever you want. Now, if God asked you that question, what would you say? How would you answer that question? I think it'd be a lot of different answers, but Solomon said, I want wisdom. My father had that, and I want wisdom to lead this country. I'm young. I need it to maintain justice and understanding. And so God granted him wisdom. I think it shows a lot of maturity and even some level of wisdom on Solomon's part that he would ask for wisdom. God gives it to him, but God said, because you ask for wisdom and not wealth, I'm going to give you both. And so that's why Solomon became a man of great wealth, because he had a heart after God and he wanted to possess wisdom. And so wisdom is the key to all other blessings in life. People think that having more money is going to solve their problems. And if you give a foolish person more and more money, then it's going to bring disaster. In fact, in this generation, it crawls with examples of those who have had great wealth, but they have lost it all. Sports Illustrated tells us that 78% of former NFL players, National Football League players, either go bankrupt or they have great financial distress within 2 years of retiring. Now remember, a lot of these guys have made millions upon millions of dollars, and they're in their late 20s or in their 30s, maybe late 30s when they retire, and within 2 years, they've lost almost all of it. In the NBA, the National Basketball Association, 60% of those will go bankrupt or lose their wealth within 5 years of retiring. And so we see how they have so much money. You wonder, how can they lose all that money and go bankrupt? What about the lottery? We've seen people who've won hundreds of millions of dollars. And not only have they lost that money, but it has literally destroyed their families because of the wealth that they possessed. Wealth without wisdom can do great damage. So, what is it that Solomon gives us, the wisdom that we need concerning money, concerning wealth? Well, there are two foundational truths. One is the limitations of money. The limitations of money. There are great things that money can do, and there are great things that money can buy. Proverbs 10, verse 16. The labor of the righteous leads to life. The earnings or the wage, the Bible that can be translated, leads to life. Money can open doors and it can create great opportunity. But there's nothing wrong with having money, but money can't buy everything. It can't do all that we want it to do. Wisdom is understanding that while money can buy some things, there are some things that money cannot buy, it cannot do. For example, number one, money can't buy happiness. Proverbs 11, verse 28. Anyone trusting in riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. Some of the world's wealthiest people are still miserable today. Whatever happiness you think money can buy, it's only temporary and it will soon wear off. Secondly, money can't buy peace of mind. Peace of mind. Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but jealousy is rottenness to the bones. There are a lot of people who have a lot of money, but they don't have peace. And peace comes from being content with what you have, not being jealous of what you don't have. Being jealous of what others have and you desiring what they have, a jealous heart will never experience peace. Also, money can't buy security. Proverbs 23, verse 4. Don't wear yourself out to get rich. Stop giving your attention to it. As soon as your eyes fly to it, it disappears. For it makes wings for itself and flies like an eagle to the sky. Money can't guarantee your security. Money is going to fly away. It's going to leave you or you'll leave it. It's only temporary. It's not going to be here long. It won't buy the security that you need. And also, money can't buy peace with God. Proverbs 11, verse 4, riches won't help on the day of judgment, but right living can save you from death. So Solomon is reminding us that money is a temporary asset. And one day when we stand before God, there's no amount of money that's going to buy your peace with God. Doesn't matter how much money you have, how much money you've given to the church, how much money you've used to help others. It's not a balance scale. I mean, what kind of God would that be? Because I gave more, I'm able to get in? Because I had this wealth and I did this good that God's going to let me come in? No, why? Because you still have a sin nature. And wealth, or the lack of it, is not what separates you from God. It is your sin nature. And no amount of money can solve the problem of the debt that you owe God because of your sin. Only Christ can pay that price for us. As long as you understand what money can and cannot do, you're a person who's positioning yourself with great wisdom. It won't buy happiness. It can't produce peace of mind. It won't give you the security that you need, and certainly you cannot buy peace with God. So the truth about money is that you need to have wisdom about the limitations of money. Second, you need wisdom about the management of money. You see, the issue is not how much money you have. It's what you're doing with the amount that you have, how you're managing what you have. I think I've shared with you before, Larry Burkett, who was one of the original gurus of financial peace. Dave Ramsey's very popular today. But Larry Burkett said that he had a guy come into his office, and he said that he was having problems with his money. He was making $35,000 a year. An hour later, he had a couple come in, and they were making $100,000 a year, and they were having financial problems. He said, an hour later, I had a man in my office who was having financial problems, and he was making $300,000 a year. So he learned it's not the amount of money that a person has, it's managing what we have. Now, there are several factors that may determine how much money you have or how much money you can create. First, your ability to make money. Some people know how to make money and some don't. God will bless some with that ability, and with others, they don't have that ability. But each of us are responsible to do the best that we can with what we have. It may not be God's design for you, but whatever He has given, then you need to have wisdom about it. Secondly, the choices you make have an economic impact or outcome. Some have the ability to create great wealth, but they choose to serve God instead. They would rather have peace of mind, and they don't want to have that problem in their life. Now, a lot of us would say, hey, I'll take that problem for a while. But, you know, they for peace of mind, what they have is enough. And for others, they don't want the stress that comes with doing all that you have to do to create that wealth, to be wise about that wealth, to spend that wealth, to maintain it, all the rest. So they don't want to live with that stress. So they made a choice, and some people do that. We don't need to feel guilty about that if that's what God chooses you to do. But also, your context has a lot to do about the wealth that you possess. And for some, that may be the factor that determines how much money you're going to possess. If you live in America, you're going to be a wealthy person compared to the world standards. There are billions of people who will never have the opportunity to create any level of wealth. And when I say wealth, it doesn't mean that you're wealthy. It just means you have a certain amount of money. Some have more, some have less. And so if you have more than what meets your daily sustenance, you're a very fortunate person compared to the world standards. Now, again, we don't feel guilty about that, but we need to be wise with what we have, and we need to be grateful to God that we were born into a context where maybe my family has money and it's been passed down through generations, or my dad has a company, my mom, or whatever. And so we have been positioned where we're able to have wealth or create wealth. Solomon wrote a lot of things about the management of money. And if we look at all the things that he says in the book of Proverbs about money, we're going to sum it up at these points, all right? First of all, he says to earn it honestly. When you read the book of Proverbs, he says earn it honestly. Money reveals our character. Proverbs 10, verse 2, ill-gotten gains do not profit anyone, but righteousness rescues from death. Proverbs 11, 18, the wicked man earns an empty wage, but the one who sows righteousness a true reward. Proverbs 13, 11, wealth obtained by fraud will dwindle, but whoever earns it through labor will multiply it. Proverbs 15, 27, the one who profits dishonestly troubles his household, but the one who hates bribes will live. Proverbs 16, 8, better a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. Proverbs 21, 6, making a fortune through a lying tongue is a vanishing mist, a pursuit of death. Now let me say this. Anybody who's read the paper the last couple of days will know exactly the result of trying to get money from others through dishonest gain. People have lost their fortunes, their savings. People have died as a result. Murdered as a result of trying to gain money dishonestly. It's extremely relevant right here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, of the result of doing that. Earning money is a wonderful thing, but listen, if you're earning it dishonestly, you're compromising your integrity, then your financial practices are going to create ruin for you and your family. So your character will last a lot longer than your money, and in the end, that's what matters. Secondly, when it comes to managing money, Solomon says, plan it carefully. The greatest financial mistake that many people make is that they spend it before they have a plan. Before they have a plan. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit. So failure to plan won't get you there. But if you plan, it will get you there. Notice the second part of that verse. But anyone who is reckless only becomes poor. Proverbs 27:23. Know well the condition of your flock, and pay attention to your herds. Now, why is he saying we should pay attention to our assets and plan? Proverbs 27, 24, the next verse. For wealth is not forever, not even a crown lasts for all time. Now, Solomon lived a long time when he wrote this, and he had seen a lot of people who had not planned. They had not paid attention to their assets, and he knew kings who gave up the crown. They're kings of kingdoms. But he said, ultimately, that comes to an end, and somebody else becomes king, or that king will die. He no longer wears the crown. So the first step of planning well is to create a budget. Karen and I were married 7 years before we got on a financial budget. We weren't in trouble, but I just felt like, you know, we weren't paying attention to where our money was going. And sometimes we would feel guilty for spending money because we didn't know if we should spend it that way. And what we discovered is that a budget is nothing more than a communication tool, especially in a marriage, in a home, so that both people are on the same page about the money that's coming in and the money that's going out. And you're in agreement, and so you talk about this. And the number one reason for divorce today is finances. So that's why if you're not on a budget as a family, as a couple, you need to do that. You need to today. That's the greatest wisdom you could gain maybe out of this series is that we're going to take time and get on a budget. We're going to plan together before we spend and know where our money is going. Then Solomon says to manage your money, you should give generously. The Bible teaches that a generous person will be blessed. It teaches that if you're stingy, you'll never be satisfied. Proverbs 21, verse 25, a slacker's craving will kill him because his hands refuse to work. He is filled with craving all day long, but the righteous give and don't hold back. God blesses the person who gives. Now, he may bless you in different ways. It may not always be money. In fact, as somebody said, don't settle for money. The many other great blessings that God will give, other than financial blessing. But you can be assured that God will meet your needs. We start by giving to the Lord. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits. Malachi 3:10. Bring the full 10% into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. Now, giving 10% is a great place to start, because when you do that, you're able to give consistently. You're able to give proportionately. You're able to, in fact, give more money. Because, listen, God can do more with 90% of your money than you can do with 100% of your money. Believe me. You give to the Lord, you trust Him, and God is going to do far more with the 90%, and He'll give you the ability to give more than even the 10%. And also, as we give to the Lord, Solomon instructs us that we give to those in need. Proverbs 22, verse 9, a generous person will be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. So if you give to the Lord, and you give to others who are in need, God is going to make up the difference in so many ways. Jesus said it like this in Luke 26. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So a person who gives generously, God will bless. A person who is stingy and who doesn't give, they're always wondering why they can't have more and while others have more. Well, God's not going to bless that. If I give, God will bless. Then Solomon says to save purposefully. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ants, you slacker. Observe its ways and become wise. Without leader, administrator, or ruler, It prepares its own provisions in summer. It gathers its food during harvest. The ant works hard, and he saves. And listen, nobody told him to do it. That's what Solomon says. There wasn't a leader. There wasn't an administrator. There wasn't somebody managing his money. Now, I'm not against money managers. Please hear me. They're needed today. But he said nobody had to tell the ant that he needed to work. And he needed to plan, he needed to prepare, he needed to put away for that rainy day, for the harvest that is going to come, the need for it. So save purposefully. Plan ahead, save now. Then spend it wisely, Solomon says. Solomon says, I don't have time to get into this in depth. I need a series just on this one topic. But he says to spend it wisely. Be careful about lending money. Proverbs 17 and in Proverbs 22. About giving an inheritance to the young. It's not wrong to leave an inheritance, but to give it a lot to a person who's too young. That's why trust is a good idea, setting up a trust for those who were little, which we did in our will. When our kids were very young and early in our marriage, I went on my first mission trip and I got with an attorney. I said, I need to get a will. I need to establish that. So that if anything happens, it's all said and done. And as our kids have gotten older and the needs have changed in the family, then we have changed the will. We've changed how the assets are distributed. We've changed who's going to take care of the kids if something happens to me and Karen. All the rest. There's great wisdom in that. Think of the trauma that is caused to a family when that's not established. When that's not there. And so we be very, very careful how we spend it wisely as it relates to our children and for their future. There's nothing wrong with leaving something for them, but too much too soon can create great problems. And he says to be careful about borrowing money. Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is a slave to the lender. In fact, he says a lot about this, but it's true. No matter how good the intentions are, no matter if it's for something that is building equity, versus something that is losing its value, even in the best of circumstances, you are still a slave to the lender. So he says to pray, to seek wise counsel, and don't make quick decisions, that we need to be very careful. So if you want to be wise about money, you need to understand the limitations of money, what it can do and what it cannot do. And we need to be wise about managing the resources that God has given us. And it's not just money. It's the resource of time. It's the resource of people. It's the resource of the gifts that God has given us to serve His church. And here's how I want to end the series. And I'm glad we're ending on this note about wisdom concerning money. Because the wisest thing that you could do today is to know the one who possesses all wisdom. And listen to me. Who knows all about you and still loved you by putting His Son on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins that put Him on the cross. Doesn't it make sense if God created you? He knows you better than you know yourself. In fact, that's why we learned in our recent studies that part of salvation means that God is rescuing us from ourselves. We need Him. We need the one who possesses all wisdom to lead our lives. So the person who gives their heart to Christ and lets Him be Lord of all, Lord of everything about their lives, and all that they have, God is the Lord. Because, see, He owns everything. And what we have, we just have it on loan. And He's told us to be the steward. The earth, God gave it to us. And what did He tell Adam and Eve? That you need to be a steward of the earth. The resources that you have, the children that you have, God gave those to you. The Bible says that children are a gift from the Lord. And we're stewards, we're managers of our children for just a few number of years. And it seems that if God created me, He knows me better than I know myself, that I would want to let Him lead me and I wisely follow Him. And so I want you to bow your head and close your eyes this morning. There might be somebody here who would say, Pastor, that is me. I want to make the wisest decision that a person could ever make in their entire life. And that is to admit that I am a sinner. That my sin has separated me from a holy God. Yet out of God's grace and out of His mercy and out of His love, God has restored that relationship through Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you're willing to humble yourself and to give your heart to Christ, that you can come to know Him as Lord and Savior and to possess His wisdom, to let Him lead your life. When we sing this next song, I want to invite you to come. I'll be here at the front to help you make that commitment of your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There might be others of you who know the Lord, but if you're really honest, you would say, I've not been wise about this area of my life. And over the series, God has helped you come to understand where you need to make a commitment to Him, to surrender that area of your life to Him. That's a wise decision. And God will give you the wisdom that you need concerning that particular issue. God may be leading some of you to make the wise decision of becoming part of our church family, of coming and joining Linwood Baptist Church as your church home. We would love to have you be a part of what God's doing here and to encourage you to help you on your journey of faith. There might be others who just need to come and pray, to talk with someone. Something's deep on your heart, a burden, and the wisest thing you could do is to share that burden with somebody else who loves you and will pray for you right now. Father, I thank You for speaking to our hearts, not just today, but over these last 6 weeks. And thank You for the wisdom that You've given us, the life hacks, the things that will make our lives better, so that we can accomplish Your purpose and to glorify You with our lives. Help these who need to make commitments now. In Jesus' name, amen.